السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected and honorable علماء كرام, respected elders and brothers in Islam, we have come to that part of the month of Ramadan about which our honorable elders had given an example that we should become like a racehorse. Not that betting is haram in Islam, but a racehorse, as it realizes it comes to the last lap, then it begins to unleash and it begins to move forth and move forward, trying to win that race. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The expression that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses to express this, not only in the month of Ramadan but for our entire lives, is that we need to hasten and go forth insofar as khairat is concerned, insofar as good deeds are concerned. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, hasten and go forth towards the maghfirat of your Rabb, towards the forgiveness of your Rabb, and of course towards Jannah. أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. In a very brief description of Jannat, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala describes the width of Jannah. أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. That the width of Jannat is the samawat, is the skies and the earth put together. If only we can understand, and we all have done geometry in school, that if that is the width, then the length is far longer. We cannot even imagine that space that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has prepared. U'iddat lilmuttaqeen, for those who have the quality of taqwa, for those who have the quality of the consciousness of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. At the very beginning of the month of Ramadan, we had been hearing, why did Allah Ta'ala give us this roza? Why did Allah Ta'ala give us this fast? Why is this month of Ramadan? Kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba alal ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. So that we may have this quality of taqwa, this quality of the consciousness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nonetheless, going forward, when we look into the life of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was Laylatul Qadr all about? In many ways, we can never ever be thankful to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And in many ways, we cannot be thankful to our mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, for the most pertinent questions she asked from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the most appropriate time. One is the issue of Laylatul Qadr. When is Laylatul Qadr? We have heard the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, the last odd nights of the month of the last 10 days, or the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. But her question to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if I come to know which night is the night of Qadr, what do I do? How do I appreciate this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I spend my time? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to our mother that you should be saying, Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Wallah, you are afu. You are the one that forgives, you obliterate, you erase. One is a sin that is committed, one is an error, a crime that has been committed, a person is pardoned. But that remains written. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is demonstrating to us, wa'fu anna, in the ayat of the Quran, in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is using this expression, Allahumma innaka afuwun, O Allah, you obliterate, you erase. In other words, not only forgiven, but there is nothing about it, you will not be questioned about it. Tuhibbul afwa. In this world, who is that individual that we hurt the feelings of someone, we commit a crime, we do wrong to someone, many will forgive. But who is that individual who loves to forgive? Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tuhibbul afwa. O Allah, you love to forgive. Fa'afu anni. O Allah, obliterate and forgive. Forgive me. Now, our mother radiallahu ta'ala anha had asked this pertinent question, and of course the answer is something that we should remember in every aspect of our lives. Whether it is the month of Ramadan, whether it is out of the month of Ramadan, whether it is the days or the nights of Ramadan, whether it is the last 10 nights of Ramadan or the last 10 days of Ramadan, we should remember this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive, and seeking forgiveness was entrenched in the life of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, seek forgiveness, ask Allah ta'ala to forgive, for certainly I seek forgiveness in one hadith 70 times, in one hadith 100 times. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in one kitab of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, Adabul Mufrad, he narrates that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting at a particular place, and then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya. Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Simple dua. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I went on counting the number of times my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this dua. And I counted 100 times. Our mother, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had completed his salatu duha, what you and I term as the chaste salat, the salat in the mid-morning. And after he completed his salatu duha, his chaste, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sat at that place, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. So in short, to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was entrenched in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, we ask the question, when Allah ta'ala is saying in the Quran, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, that Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was free of every kind of sin, whether it was major or minor. But yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek forgiveness from Allah. One alim made a note on this particular ayah that Allah Ta'ala forgives the sins of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has forgiven it. Whatever was past, whatever would be, all of it is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he was masoom. But take it one stage further, he says, nay, my Nabi was such that my Nabi was the source of forgiveness for others. My Nabi was the source of forgiveness for others. Now such was the caliber and the quality and the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go out of his way. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. It comes in a riwayat in the hadith that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would make this dua. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya. Oh Allah, distant, make far apart the distance between me and my khata, my errors. That was the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How? Kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Like how you have distant the east from the west. In other words, have absolutely nothing to do with sin. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes forward. Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, wanqini min adh-dhunubi wal-khataya kama yunqqa ath-thawb al-abyad min ad-danas. O Allah, purify me, cleanse me from sin, from any kind of error, from any types of slip, like how a cloth is washed, and when that cloth is washed with whatever it may be, and it is now cleansed, that is how Allah cleansed me from sin. Now, on the one hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaches our mother Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In many of the discourses of our ulama, we have gone through the different aspects with regards to asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. I just want to dwell on one important aspect that ulama have written, that there are three things that are worse than the sin in itself. There are three aspects that are worse than the sin in itself. One is to commit the sin, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Sayyidina Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, when he speaks to his people, he says, Istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayh. Two aspects of it. Oh my Allah, I make istighfar. I seek forgiveness from you. So you should be asking for forgiveness and then make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make tawbah to Allah ta'ala. In other words, return from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the obedience of Allah. So the commentators of the Quran speak about these two concepts, istighfar and tawbah. That in istighfar, to seek forgiveness from the sin in itself, and in tawbah, to promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to commit that sin again. On a previous occasion, we discussed one important aspect of a person that falls into a soap pit. In the old days, when we did not have the sanitary systems that we had, and we had the system where all the excreta and all of it will be gathered in one particular place, and a person falls into it. Now, so long as that individual is in it, what we would call the septic tank, so long as the person is in it, no matter how much of water is given to him, and no matter how much he may bathe himself, but he is in it, we will say that is a futile activity, that is a futile exercise. Us being involved in the sin in itself, making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be merit, inshallah, there will be rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah guide that person. But that is the example that we should remember at all times. Now, the sin in itself and the three very harmful aspects. Number one is committing the sin. And after committing the sin, to trivialize it. To think that the sin is nothing. To think that the sin is small. Sahaba, when they addressed the tabi'een, they used to say to the tabi'een that we lived amongst those people whom the smallest error would be like a mountain that was upon their heads. Whilst we see you people, the biggest of slips and biggest of errors, for you it is like a fly that is sitting on your nose. Number two, if we trivialize, then that unfortunately goes into a form of deception. We are deceived in two ways. One form of deception is this, that we feel we've committed sins or a sin, and somewhat within our hearts we feel that we are not answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no harm in the sin in itself. فَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ. The munafiqeen were very strange. On the one hand, when they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam responding to the sahabas sneezing and the sahaba saying alhamdulillah, when they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say yarhamukallah, they became very enthusiastic to take this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may Allah have mercy upon you. They wanted Allah's Nabi to make this dua that Allah have mercy upon you. So whenever they would find the need to sneeze, they would come into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they would sneeze and they would even say alhamdulillah in expectation that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam will say yarhamukallah. But Allah's Nabi was Allah's Nabi. He would say to them, Yaghfirullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you. Yahdikumullah, may Allah ta'ala give you hidayat. So he made dua for forgiveness, he made dua for hidayat, but not for the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why I say it's strange? On the other hand, they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they would greet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah ta'ala is expressing, حَيَّوْكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ. They are greeting you with such greetings which Allah does not greet. When Allah Ta'ala greeted Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, or the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, salamun ala al-mursaleen, salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was greeted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and all the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam in the most unique way and fashion by Allah Rabbul Izzat. But when they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would not say assalamu alayk, they would say assam alayk. Assamu alayk, death be upon you. Once our mother, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, hears this, she understands it, and immediately she responds, wa alayk assam, wa la'natullahi alayk, and upon you also be death. And may Allah's lanat be upon you. Wa ghadiballahu alayk, and may Allah Ta'ala's wrath be upon you. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the other hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to her, oh Aisha, do not respond in that manner. She says, but did you not hear how they spoke to you, how they greeted you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I've heard, and all I said is wa alayk, and the same be upon you. Now coming back, when they did this, وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ. Look at the audacity. They greeted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not respond with any adab that was visible to them at that particular time. And now they ask the question, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not punish us? For them, they wanted the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be instantaneous. It had to be now. And they wanted to physically see that adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that was not to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with them in different ways. Going further, Hasan Basri rahimahumullah, he narrates a hadith that in the life of a previous Nabi, alayhi salatu wassalam, a person approaches that Nabi and the person says to that Nabi that had Allah taken me to task for the sins I had committed, then I would have known. But I am such a sinner, but I do not experience Allah's punishment in any way whatsoever. Sayyidina Hasan Basri rahimahumullah further narrates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to that Nabi that asked this servant of mine that has he not found that now when he stands up in salah, there is no joy, there is no enjoyment, there is no elation, there is no sincerity, there is no dedication in that salat. It is a dead salat. So that Nabi inquires from that person and he replies in the affirmative. He said, that is the adab from Allah. That is the adab from Allah. Like our old people say, the adab of Allah is such, the stick of Allah is such, we may not hear the whoop. But definitely, there is different ways. So one is that a person is in a state of deception after having committed the sin and then enjoying all the ni'mats that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts down. وَلَوْ يُعَاقِدُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا تَرَكُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةِ. That if Allah had to take retribution, if Allah Ta'ala had to punish any individual or people immediately for the sins, there wouldn't have been a moving animal on the surface of this earth. So that is one, the deception. On the other side, another form of deception is that a person commits a sin and then he becomes so despondent and he loses hope in the mercy of Allah. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Look at the expression that Allah Ta'ala uses. Say, O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya ibadi, O my servants, the servants of Allah. Which servants? الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have wronged themselves, they've transgressed their souls. But look at my Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still addressing them as ibadi, my servants. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is trivializing, the other is deception, and the last is to perpetuate, to continue sinning, going on and on and on. Very frightening are some of the verses of the Quran. May Allah Ta'ala shower His mercy upon us. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about sin, about which we have not made tawbah, and we perpetualize, we continue committing those sins, kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun, kalla innahum ar rabbihim yawma idhil lamahjubun. Allah make our hifazat. But like we hear so often, the sins that are committed, tawbah is not made, those black spots that form on our hearts begin then to obliterate our judgment, our intentions, our living in this world. And the result of which is, we cannot see right from wrong until that day, on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla innahum ar rabbihim yawma idhil lamahjubun. That In this world we blinded ourselves from seeing the commandments of Allah, the ahkam of Allah, what is right and wrong. We blinded ourselves to the call of making tawbah and seeking forgiveness. We blinded ourselves to these golden opportunities that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has availed us in life in this month of Ramadan. Ulama have written, if we just go, the fasting person, he's in the rahmah of Allah. His du'as are accepted. Du'as are accepted at the time of iftar. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala multiplies it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and He gives better than the ibadat of 1,000 months on this night of Qadr. But we do not see and we blind ourselves. Allah forbid, on the day of Qiyamah, they will be veiled from the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and friends, one is the sin, and worse than the sin is number one, to trivialize the sin, to think that the sin is not a sin. Often we ask, is it a major sin or is it a minor sin? That's a technicality insofar as the Shariat is concerned. One person asked, one of the very pious saints, that Hazrat, is this a major sin or a minor sin? So the response came, and a very, very important response, that my brother, one is a little spark. We have an electrical fault, and there's a little spark in that electrical fault, and that now causes a fire. And one is a coal that causes a fire. So the pious personality asked the man, can you guarantee me which fire will be bigger? We've seen in our lives, the smallest of sparks have gutted the biggest of warehouses. So the smallest of sins sometimes can gutter that relationship between us and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Brothers and friends, in these last 10 days and 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, let us take advantage over the fact that Allah's mercy descends upon us to a greater extent. Let us turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us forgive those around us. Let us seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us seek forgiveness for those around us and the ummah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam globally. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.